Competing visions of global fair trade as world leaders speak in Vietnam.
From this day forward, we will compete on a fair and equal basis. We are not going to let the United States be taken advantage of anymore.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. You just heard President Donald Trump saying the U.S. won't tolerate trade abuses anymore. He was speaking to leaders of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit in Vietnam. Afterwards, Chinese President Xi Jinping spoke about his vision of global trade. The BBC's Asia business correspondent Karishma Vaswani is in Da Nang, where the summit is being held.
Defiant and bombastic, Donald Trump was on top form during his speech at the APEC summit in Vietnam. He said the U.S. will no longer tolerate chronic trade abuses and that free trade had cost America millions of jobs. It was a speech signaling that Donald Trump is putting America first, but perhaps not as concerned about American leadership in the region. Meanwhile, China's President Xi Jinping had a strikingly different vision. He lauded multilateral agreements and praised globalization, saying that it's irreversible and the reason for so much of the Asia-Pacific region's growth over the last few decades. President Xi received a standing ovation for his remarks. The speech has presented a choice between the visions of the world's two great superpowers, America first or Chinese leadership in the future. In Da Nang, I'm the BBC's Karishma Vaswani for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets in Asia and Europe are broadly lower. Japan's Nikkei closed down 0.88% and Spain's IBEX is leading European markets lower, down 42 points or 0.42%. Now, life in Venezuela already involves lining up to buy basic goods as the country suffers the world's highest inflation rate. Now the U.S. has extended sanctions against 10 Venezuelan officials it accuses of helping undermine democratic rule. The BBC's Katie Watson reports.
In a statement, the U.S. Treasury Secretary said the country wouldn't stand aside while the Maduro regime continues to destroy democratic order and prosperity in Venezuela. The government officials with restrictions placed on them include members of Venezuela's Electoral Council and members of the controversial Constituent Assembly. According to the US Treasury, they're involved in undermining the electoral process, media censorship, and corruption in government food programs. The decision means that US assets of the individuals will be frozen and people in the US will be forbidden from dealing with them. But it's unlikely to deter Mr. Maduro from making changes. In the past, he's mocked sanctions imposed on his administration. In Sao Paulo, I'm the BBC's Katie Watson for Marketplace.
Now to Abu Dhabi. And music from the opening of the Louvre Museum. Yep, you heard that right. For the first time, the iconic Paris Gallery has licensed its name abroad. Abu Dhabi officials hope their museum, which opens Saturday, will draw at least 1 million visitors a year, and they've paid for that privilege. Journalist Richard Dean works at the government-owned Dubai Eye radio station.
The big expense is these contracts that they've signed with the Louvre and with the museums in Paris. And that reportedly runs into hundreds of millions.
So what will visitors actually see? Jean-François Charnier is the scientific director of Agence France Museums. He's overseen the collection at the Abu Dhabi Louvre and he told me more.
Oh, the building is amazing. It looks like from the outside a large dome covering buildings that look like, you know, an Arabic traditional city called Medina. And this large dome, in fact, is like an umbrella that protects from the sun, but allows the air to pass through. And it also allows the air from the sea to come to create a cool atmosphere.
One writer has described it as like a neighborhood of art. What are people actually going to see inside this new museum?
So under the dome, you have different galleries. And we have tried to create something innovative in welcoming all the civilization of the world is our translation of the notion of universality. We wanted to have an abstract of the history of humankind with a narrative. This narrative is a story open in 12 chapters. For example, the route of the white and the blue and white ceramic and porcelain that started in China, Yuan, and goes to the Islamic world, to Europe. And it's the first time we can count this tree, the story like this.
Obviously, the Gulf is
a socially conservative place. Were there things that you had to not incorporate into these galleries, for example, pieces that might involve nudity, to honor the local culture?
The museum is a universal museum, so every subject is present at Louvre Abu Dhabi, also this subject. It's important because it was also important to say that it was possible to make a universal museum out of the West, in the Arab world.
Jean-François Charnier. Finally, forget Black Friday. Tomorrow is the biggest shopping day of the year. November 11th is China's Singles Day. An estimated $20 billion to be spent online, more than Brazilian shoppers spend online in an entire year. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.